Yea, rise up, my people, saith the Lord. Yea, lift up thine eyes, yea, lift up thine heart and thy hands. Yea, reach up unto me, saith the Lord, with thy praise, with thy adoration, for surely I am thy Lord and I am thy God. Yea, I am in thy midst, saith the Lord. And I do move among thee and within thee, saith the Lord, and about thee. But yea, my children, surely even in this hour, do I desire to do a new thing, yea, within thee and in thy midst? Yea, for thou art not to consider the former things nor the things of old, but thou art to lift up thine eyes, yea, and to press in to that place within my presence, saith the Lord, that thou mightest know, yea, that thou mightest enter into that new thing that I am doing. For yea, surely I would feed thee. Yea, I would feed thee with a meat that thou hast never tasted of, yea, that would be strength unto thy bones, yea. And I would give thee the drink of a refreshment, yea, of my life, saith the Lord, that could cause thee to rise up strong, yea, and to walk forth within the darkness that shall come upon the land, yea, as sons, yea, as many shining suns in this hour. So rise up, my people, yea, lift up your voices, yea, and sing unto me, for I am thy Lord and I am thy God. Yea, and I am he that triumphs, saith the Lord.
Unto the Lord thy God. Therefore despise not the covenant that the Lord hath made with thee in secret, for I am the great I am, and thy bridge and thy strength. For am I not a God who is personal to thee, O Israel? And do not I know each of thee by name, saith the Lord? Therefore deny me not the fruit of my doing, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore lend thine ear unto the Lord, that he might speak his word unto thee, for yea, a new thing I would do in the earth, saith God, that maketh the old a foundation and the building to begin, saith the Lord. For I would dispatch thee two by two, and a legion thou shalt be. For many thou art, though thou would seem to be separated. Know that the coming of the Lord shall be even as he said, from the rising of the sun even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be to his church. Know that thou shalt and must be ready, and thou must be looking up, so the Lord will say, to the housetop, arise unto thy own place of worship, yea, and wonder not about what thou hast left behind and is leaving behind in the old ways, but know that thou must take to the housetop, say the Lord, for there come a rising of the flood that shall take all them that have not risen up in the spirit, yea, therefore know that deception has come, yea, the Lord send the west wind to thee, and give thee comfort and warmth, and give thee assurance in this time. But know that thou must be a strong tree, and that thou must be a strong branch. Yea, for many shall come to steal the fruit that belongeth unto the Lord. But the Lord would say, reserve unto me what belongeth unto me, and I shall give thee thy reward in due season, say
Brethren, praise God for this morning, and we want to welcome you again to this feast. It is a table that has been spread through much tribulation, and God has provided a word for His people in this hour. A word that is strong enough to take us through the midnight hour. We believe that we are a people who will be the overcomers in the end time. This is what we believe. And we encourage every soul here to believe that of yourself. For that God Almighty is indeed doing a new thing in the earth. It's not only that we heard it in prophecy twice repeated this morning, but that this is the very essence of the message today. And it is the word that God is speaking to our soul. We are being ushered into a new era and into a new realm. God is lifting the church. We are being raptured. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you don't feel it, then you better go back to Jesus and find out what's happening. For you're not at the same place that you used to be. You are being lifted in spite of ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. And we praise God for this resurrection power that is getting into us and not just in our Bibles. Praise God. We want to deal with the subject this morning, Overcomers Arise. And I say overcomers because there are some people who won't arise, who are not lifting, who are not going any place. Some are meandering around in the outer court. Amen. Bless God, for reasons of their own making. Some people have their eyes on the things of the world. Some people are thinking about the tribulation and how they can be safe during the tribulation. Amen. God said, don't take any thought for your body, what you shall put on, for your what you shall eat, or what you shall drink. For He is able and He will make the way. There is one thing we need to be is obedient. We need to be able to hear the voice of God. If California is to be destroyed by earthquake, it's not our business. Amen. I was speaking to a preacher. I respected this man very much. And I was shocked when he said, me? He said, I wouldn't even take a message to California. He said, God couldn't get me into that place, Los Angeles? No, sir. He said, that whole thing is going to sink into the sea. Amen. But he doesn't know what's going to happen to the place where he's standing. Blessed be to God Almighty. If Los Angeles wants to sink into the sea, then it is not I who keep myself. It is God. Amen. And my God, amen, said to me, He will not do anything unless He tells it to His prophet. The people of God are safe in the hand of God.
Hallelujah.
He that dwelleth. Not, it didn't say Los Angeles or Arkansas. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You are safe as long as you are in Christ Jesus. As long as you remain there. Blessed be to God. I don't know how I got off on that. Now let's turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And let us look again at one of the greatest books in the Bible. And the Word of God speaking to the church, His beloved. And in verse 10, we see these words. You got it? Verse 10, my beloved spake. What did he say? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We look down into the 13th verse. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Hallelujah. I want to just dwell on these words a little. The time must come when God begins to speak to the church to get up into the mountains. We have read this time and time again. And some people say, oh, that's for the people way down yonder, dear. But God is saying to us today, arise, my love, and come away. Now, we are a called out people. How come we, the ecclesia, are being asked to come out? Come away from what? Somebody say, oh, that is the rapture. Well, brethren, I could almost agree with you this morning that it is really the rapture God is talking about when he says, come away, but not the rapture that men are talking about. For God wants us, when he called us out of the world unto himself. When he was leaving, he promised us that where I am, there ye may be. And somebody said, no, he meant where I will be, there you will be. He didn't say that. John chapter 40, he said, where I now am, there ye will be. Meaning to say the position that Jesus Christ occupied on earth in God, that we would step into that position when he stepped out. He was stepping out and we were stepping in. Amen. So he said, I'm leaving. I'm going. But I'm going to give you my position that where I am now, there you will be. And blessed be to God, this is the lifting up. We are being caught up into Christ. Amen. Somebody said, but I have Christ already. I didn't say nay. We have Christ. But has Christ got us? How much of you Christ had? Amen. What proportion of you does Christ have? We have him, and we have Christ in his fullness, and yet we don't possess him in his fullness. Yes. What kind of double talk that, brother, this is? Amen. Sure. You see, man is spirit, soul, and body. We have the fullness of God in the spirit, and when we get in the spirit, we do have an can use the fullness of God, but at present our souls need that fullness to come from the spirit into the soul. Amen. So who is God talking to when he says arise? Is he talking to your spirit? Let's check on another scripture and we'll see if God's talking to my spirit. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord's Prayer. Lord, thy kingdom come in earth just the same as it is in heaven. What am I praying? I am praying that that part of me which is earth might be occupied by the same power of God which occupies. Oh, sorry, Matthew 6:10. The same power of God which occupies the heavenlies, the same light that is in the heavenlies might come within my soul. And then my soul will enter into the heavenlies. In other words, what is my soul, my conscious being, my mind, my emotions? Those parts of me might enter into the heavenlies and that heaven will come to earth. That's what I'm asking God. Thy kingdom come. I didn't say, Lord, just wait on me, I'm coming. You know, I'm going to take off, I'm coming. No, sir. You come.
Yes.
Amen. And when God come, then I'll go. So, let's read a little of this beauty here. Because we want to find out if there is a time when we should come away. Beloved, verse 11. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Tribulation. You know what winter is? Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Did you ever think of that verse? Jesus said to the brethren, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Do you know that somewhere on earth has winter at all times? Then how could Jesus say, pray that your flight be not in the winter? It must mean that winter is a time when things are cold and all the plants die. All of them go to sleep. Amen. Winter is a time in your life when you are very cold. Pray to God that tribulation don't hit you when you are not really there in Jesus. For the more you are prepared and in the Lord abiding, the less tribulation you have. It was such a strange thing. Many people were arrested, thrown into the communist jails. And some were suffering double than the others. Some weren't suffering at all. They were praising God. And they did them the same thing. But some just went under the suffering because they did not have the oil in their vessels. Man, oh man, I'm saying a lot of things. I'm going to Matthew 25. Amen. They did not have the oil in their vessels. They had oil in their lamps. But when midnight hit, they could not survive. Do you know, brethren, that we are just a few minutes from midnight? What's your clock saying? What's your clock saying? My clock is telling me that I'm a few minutes from midnight. Now, when midnight comes, what will you do? Will you survive? Look, brethren, God complained that the spirits that went into the north country, that they almost destroyed, almost quelled his spirit. And when you look at what happened to Russia, when you look at what happened to China, ask yourself the question, would this church survive if we had undergone such a persecution? Do you have the fortitude to stand and see them kill your loved one? If you don't tell us where those Christians are hiding, we're going to kill your child right before you. We're going to kill your husband right before you. We're going to kill your wife right before you. Would you have the fortitude to stand up and said, no, I will not tell you? Blessed be to God. This is what people like we are suffering. A few weeks ago, they arrested some young people in Moscow. They were running a print shop, and the print shop was basically to get the word of God out. Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us. We have the word of God. We could throw them away on the streets. They're so new. You know, you hardly read it. These people, some of them have never seen a Bible since they were born. And they are giving their lives just to get Bibles out. Five of them were running this print shop. And the communists could not find out where the Bibles were being printed. And moreover, they couldn't find out where the paper was coming from. But they set a watch around all the shops that sell paper. And they found out that Christians were buying writing pads. They were like buying, you buy a writing pad this week, you go back next week, you buy another pad. I said, something's wrong here. So what they did, they bugged the paper. They bugged the paper. They put a strip on it, like your tape recording thing, that was not visible. The Christians bought the paper and all took it into this print shop. And then they flew over the city with a helicopter, and they were able to pinpoint the shop. And it was an underground place. They arrested 5 young people and sent them to prison. They got 5 years, and one got 3 years, I think. But this is how other people are bearing up, standing up to persecution. And I ask myself the question, are we ready? I ask you the question. Jesus said, quickly, arise and come away. Why? Because the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. It's strange that I tell you about tribulation, then I tell you about summer. It's because that while some people are having tribulation, some will be having summer. Some will be having winter, just like on earth here, this morning, as we are here, it's winter someplace, and it's summer other places. I flew out of Miami, and it was 85 degrees. We were just dying from humidity and everything else. And right into New York, into a snowstorm. 2 hours. Amen. Somebody's having summer, but somebody is having winter at the same time. And so God is promising us summer. Let's read Psalm 24, 7 and 9. It blessed my heart to see that the meeting started off with such a beautiful spirit. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And that the Spirit of God has been leading us even in the songs, so that we went ahead and we sang out the whole of this scripture, which I'm going to quote 2 verses from. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Now what gates are we talking about? What kind of gates? I come to you, brother, and said, boy, lift up your gate. Amen? Be lift up. But I gave one clue. I said, ye everlasting doors. Hallelujah. What's about you that is everlasting? Amen, your doors. Hallelujah. But so, God is saying, open up your mind. Open up your soul. Let me come in. Hallelujah. Open up your gates. Break down the bars. Pull the barrier. Let me get into there. This is what God's talking about. Your soul, your mind, particularly. Now, we have been preaching many years, do this, do that, lift up your gates. And, you know, we said, arise, my beloved, and so on. But somehow, somebody needs to know how to arise. You must know how to arise, what part of you needs to be lifted up. Amen. You know what I mean? It means that God is speaking basically to your soul and directly to your mind. Your mind must be lifted up from the things that occupy you at present. You cannot make it, put it better, we cannot make it if we keep our thought pattern in the same area that we have been thinking in the past. Hallelujah. And so, take Matthew 24 and 16. Matthew 24 24, verse 16, speaks of getting up into the mountains. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now what mountains? Where are you going to run to? You know what I mean. San Bernardino? For those who live there wouldn't have to go any place. This scripture wouldn't be for them at all. Amen. Somebody said, oh, they're talking about the mountains in Israel. That everybody must go to Israel. You know what I mean? So those who live in Israel wouldn't have to obey the scripture at all. Brethren, to be carnally minded is death. We would be stone dead if we ever look at God's word in a carnal way. This would kill you. This scripture alone would kill you. Amen. Hallelujah. That when you shall see, verse 50, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso read it, let him understand. You know, if this was natural, if this was physical, if this word was just as it is printed, why would Jesus say, whoso read it, let him understand, in parentheses? Why would he have made that remark? I believe in sotto voce, he must have just said, he read it, let him understand. Amen? Because the truth is that that is the main part of the whole verse. That when you see the abomination that Daniel spoke about, get into not just the church, not the outer court, but into the holy place where it ought not to have been, says Luke. Then, brother, it's time for you to quit. Get out of there, he said, and get up higher. Let me explain a little to you. The church, Roderick, you want to do some drawing? Why are you talking? You draw it, man. The church is basically divided into three realms. You understand what I said? Realms. Amen. You live in more than one realm. You live in the physical realm, you live in the soul realm, and you live in the spiritual realm. So a realm is not a well-defined, physically defined area. But to show you what we're talking about in drawing, we'll have to show you, you know, something physical. So don't believe we are saying we're talking about three churches. Understand? Now, when God speaks about the outer court, he's talking about people who are only interested in the natural things of religion. Those who accept Jesus as their personal savior, and they said, I've got it made. They don't care about much more. They go to their church, and they run their program, and they say their church is the greatest, and they are satisfied. In other words, to be that, you must resist the Holy Ghost. You cannot be an outer court Christian unless you have overcome the Holy Ghost. Did you hear that? Oh, yes, sir. Because the Holy Ghost begins to push you forward from the day you were born in Jesus. From the day you were saved, he began to push you forward. And to not go forward, you have to fight him. You have to be very good at resisting. And so, some of us have a doctrine for resistance. And this is what we call the outer court Christian. Then we have the holy place Christian. Basically, the holy place is a spirit place. The first entering into the holy place is receiving the Holy Ghost. Speaking tongues. I don't mean speaking tongues. then receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, receive the Holy Ghost, then speak in tongues. Are you with me, or did I miss you around that turn? See, some people speak in tongues in order to receive the Holy Ghost. And I want to set you straight just by this little thought that you need to receive the Holy Ghost, then you speak in tongues. Now, basically, therefore, we have seen something happening in our time. In our time, we have seen... In our time... All right. I'm sure you're going to understand it. The outer court is to the bottom and around. In our time, we have seen something happen that never happened before. We have seen the Holy Ghost reach out into all the churches, whether they wanted him or not. Amen. The churches that have a doctrine against the Holy Ghost, we see them in there receiving the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. That means God has widened his borders just suddenly, and they call it the charismatic move, but... I suppose it's those who don't know better that call it charismatic move. But it's a Holy Ghost move.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it is God's fourth move. The fourth move. You remember Ezekiel? Into the water to the ankle. Into the water to the shin. Into the water to the thigh. Into the water, and he was covered. Amen. This is God's fourth move, in which he's going to move man into a depth that he cannot stand. So no man will be able in this move of God to either contain the move, to restrain the move, or to direct it in his way. Formerly, you see, every move that God made, man went in and he turned it his way, and some men became millionaires out of the move of God. Isn't that something? But this move that God is making, men put a fence around it. Have you seen many fences around it? Many of you might have belonged to the Catholic charismatic, Lutheran charismatic, Baptist charismatic, Methodist charismatic. Hallelujah. You see, they are putting fences around little pieces of it. But watch what's going to happen to the fences. See, the move of God in this hour cannot be contained. It's going to break loose out of these fences. And people will find the freedom in God outside and inside of religion. In other words, barriers and fences are not going to stop it. But something has gone wrong. Verse 15 says that in that move there will come forth an abomination of destruction. An abomination will come forth in these moves. And what is the abomination? It is exactly what we see happening. People begin to talk in tongues, move in the spirit, and yet we see an antichrist move. Antichrist has come into the holy place. I'm not preaching about that, but you better turn to 2 Thessalonians. For, you know, some people don't believe unless you show them the Bible. So I'm showing you here the word. 2 Thessalonians, and in, you have that Rotterdam there with you? No, all right. I'll just read it as it is in the Greek. For the mystery of iniquity doth already, sorry, it's verse 7, please. Verse 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, it is understood that he will let. That's not there. Oh, you could read it from there for me. Let me finish here first. Until how
out of the midst he be born.
Let me hear what Rotterdam says about that, brother.
The secret of lawlessness already is inwardly working itself. Only until he that restraineth the privilege shall be gone out of the midst.
Okay, you see, Rotterdam made a mistake right there. Because the scripture definitely did not say anything about being gone. Did not say anything about being taken. It just said, until out of the midst he be born. He comes forth. But if you read the next verse, it will explain it. And I don't see why anybody should make a mistake. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, when evil rises up in the holy place, then this wicked one will be revealed. It's now hidden. The wickedness in the church is somewhat hidden, but it will be revealed. Now, let's go on a little. We want to look at Luke 21 and 28 for me, and it will bear the same thought. 28. And when are you to move up? When? It must be a time. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I thought you were saved, brother. What kind of redemption you looking for? We're getting into trouble here. I thought you people sitting here before me were all saved people. How come then Jesus is saying to us that when we see certain things begin to happen, then our redemption draweth nigh? Turn your Bibles with me. Hallelujah. To Romans chapter 8. And here we see Brother Paul in the Spirit speaking about the sons of God being redeemed. Verse 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. This is your problem. We are still under the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. You know, you see someone ill-treating an animal, beating a dog, and that dog couldn't do better. It's a dog. We are the ones to be blamed. The whole creation is waiting on the sons of God to come forth to set them free. Amen. You can't understand that, eh? Now, let's go one step further. Why is it that our minds are not in the heavenlies? Why is it we don't seem to be moving as fast as we should move? What is hindering us? Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. To most of us, that is a bunch of words which have a bad meaning. We don't really know by experience what this verse is talking about. Let me see if I can give you a little idea. We are fighting against spiritual forces, not physical forces, but spiritual forces. We are fighting not just ordinary spiritual forces, but we are fighting the princes of these spiritual forces. I remember once, I'll tell you a story. I was having trouble in my home. I was having trouble because I wasn't getting on too well with my mother. I wasn't getting on with the people who were working for me. I wasn't getting on too well at my workplace. I was an accountant in the agriculture department. And it just seemed to me that something was closing around my whole life. Everything I put my hand to became a failure. And I didn't know what the reason was. So God said to me, fast for 7 days. Lord, I have to go to work every day, but I'll do it. So I started fasting. I fasted Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. I fell into a vision. And I saw myself standing in the Baptist churchyard. And I had like an X-ray vision that I could see right through the walls of the church to the back of the church. And I saw Satan back there where the restrooms were. And he called a spirit to him and he said, look here, go and stick that man. Now, I don't know if you have that word here, stick him, in your football business, but in soccer, when you say stick that man, you mean you must be on him like a sticking plaster. He mustn't get to kick that ball. Tie him up. See? And so Satan said, stick that man. And here comes this spirit to me. And because I had seen him, because I knew he was of the devil, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And man, he was like somebody got shot. And he held on and he limped, crying back to the devil. And when he came back to the devil, he patted him on the back and he said, never mind, I'll send him a prince. And so he called again, and here comes a beautiful, strong looking young man. His features were just perfect, and he looked like a king. He said, stick him. And so this young man started coming towards me. I am out there, as I see him coming towards me, I'm getting ready now to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Before I could open my mouth, something cracked behind me. And I turned back. By the time I turned around, of course it was nothing. Believe me, this prince created a distraction. And by the time I turned back, he was right there beside me. And oh, he was smiling. I said, I'm going to give it to him right now. I opened my mouth again. He started saying something that interested me. And I had to pause to listen to what he was saying. After I'd heard, I said, I'm going to give it to him now. And by the time I was to rebuke him, I saw his back going across the fence. And I realized that I did not rebuke him. So this prince is really something, eh? All right, so in this vision, I went home. I live a few, few hundred yards down the road from the church. And so down the road I went to my home. And when I opened the gate, I saw this prince at the corner of the porch with my mother, with my aunt, with the two girls we brought from the church, and they were there talking about me. And this is why I couldn't get on with them. And then I said, let me quietly stay here. So I stood at the gate and I heard everything they were saying about me. And then I walked right up behind this prince and rebuked him in the name of Jesus. And when the thing hit him, he staggered back. And guess what happened? Out of his bosom jumped my old motorcycle. As he staggered, the motorcycle jumped out of his bosom. And it was on a string. And I rebuked him again, and off came the bicycle. I spent hours and days and days on that bicycle, riding around the whole island, having a good time. I think I love that bicycle more than I love most anything else. Yes, sir. It was one of those special made racers that you took one finger and lifted it. Oh, I'd come on that bicycle any speed and just flick it up and jump off with the bicycle in my hand. Motorcycle, throttle wide open. You know what I mean. Christian, love the Lord Jesus. Preaching the word. But these little things, I didn't notice them. Then I rebuke him again and something else jump out. And brethren, believe you me, old radio, this, that, the other. These were taking up my time. Amen. This is God's precious time and I didn't realize it. And a long string like this. And as he staggered towards the gate, he staggered and pitched through the gate with crying and weeping. He hauled all this ragtag behind him. And I found out where my problems were. They were not only there, but they were here. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me tell you something. Devils don't think like human beings. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody believe you can outsmart a devil. You can outthink him. You can plan, and you cannot outthink a devil. He doesn't think like a human being. He thinks like a superior being. And your only hope is in the mind of Christ. Our only hope in this battle is doing what Jesus wants us to do. I've heard from the Lord that there is a bombardment on the human mind that is going on right now, that your mind is being subjected to more pressure than you have ever been in your life. And that the pressure will increase. And you can turn him off. I'll give you another story. You know, when my congregation begin to get tired, I start telling them stories. Isn't that wonderful? I wanted to know from God how a devil, if he can read my mind. First thing I wanted to know, can a devil read my mind? Can a devil find out what I am thinking? If a devil can find out what I am thinking, then I'm in trouble. Where is, and I have proof that he does know what I'm thinking sometimes. But where is the barrier? How do I know when he knows what I'm thinking from when he does not know what I'm thinking? And so I've been praying to God about this. And I tell you, God is great. I don't think some of us knew how great a God we have. He will do things to you, and he'll drop you into circumstances just to answer your prayer. Anytime you find yourself in a fire, don't get all, get me out of here, quick God. Get me out, Lord. Just stop a little, please, and ask yourself, why am I in here? And you'll find out that you prayed yourself into that fire.
Yes.
Hear me? Oh, God, give us great blessings today. Lift us up, Lord. To get you up, God's got to throw you down. Some of us won't get up unless we're thrown down. I went to a meeting, and this meeting might have been near 30 miles away. We have no transportation. In those days, we walked. And so I was walking that whole night, getting back home. And when it came near towards morning, I began to enter into a wood, a thick wood, just before I get into my house. And I heard somebody behind me. And I thought it was a man. Now, I didn't even know how to be afraid of a man. It's not really possible in the way I lived in the past to be afraid of a man. So I walked along, picked up a stone, threw the stone ahead of me, chip, 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 it went into the dry trash, and I quietly went around a tree to see this man come. But the thing, whatever it was, came to that distance and stopped. Well, I went on. Came around a big rock that was jutting out like this. And the track, there is little trails we are going through, no road. The trail went around the rock. And so I came around the rock and threw a piece of stick on. And there I was, waiting for this man to come again. The thing came on the other side of the rock and stopped. So I realized I wasn't dealing with a man. You see, in other words, this intelligence, whatever it was knowing what I was doing. So you notice my thoughts. I was thinking naturally, like men think, carnally. And to hide behind a rock, it's a man I'm after. Okay, so I went on. I said, I didn't know it's a spirit. I said, follow me home. Since you're a spirit, follow me home. And there was something that came in my heart, and I don't know where it's from, but I know it now. It was of the Lord. It was to answer my prayer. God, let me know what a spirit really is. I want to feel him. I want to touch him. I want to feel this thing tonight. I went into the house, put on my pajama, jumped into bed. And began to pretend to snore. And as I put on this false snore, the door opened. And here came in this thing. Now I'm pretending to be asleep so I couldn't open my eyes. But when he came in, the door cried on its hinges. And I know the door has a cry right at that spot. And when he came over my bed, the floor cried, and I know the floor has a cry at that spot. So he must have had some kind of weight. And I had my hands like this waiting for him. To cut a long story short, he eventually jumped right into my chest and began to stretch himself over me. And there was this great vibration, like a motor. You know, when a powerful motor is working, it's just vibrating. I could feel this vibration, and I knew it was power. Whatever it was, it came right out until he touched my hands, and I grabbed him in the name of Jesus. When I grabbed him, he was frightened, and that blessed me. Because I realized that he didn't know I was going to grab him. That means he didn't know what was in my mind. Hallelujah. So one time he knew my mind, and then all of a sudden he didn't know my mind. So after I grabbed him, he wrestled, and it was like a snake, I grabbed onto a serpent, and it twitched and twitched, and he actually pushed me out. And I realized that something was going wrong because he was overcoming me. And then I began to think about the cross of Jesus, and I saw the blood coming down, and I said, Jesus, and he began to lose. Hallelujah. You know what God showed me afterwards? That the battle
is really in your mind. It wasn't your strength of manly force that pushed that demon down. If that was it, you'd be beaten, you'd lose the battle. But it was when my mind went on Jesus Christ that I had the strength of Samson.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You notice the Bible said every time Samson was about to do something great, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Hallelujah.
And as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the man became Superman. Hallelujah. And so I squeezed the daylight out of this devil. And he got out and he cursed. I heard him curse. And God called his name. But that's not the part I want to show you. I want to show you the thing says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that the battle field is really in your mind. You know what God showed me? He showed me that if your mind falls below a certain level, you are a goner. You are in devil territory. And Satan is king, but not in our realm. Jesus is king in our realm. If your mind is on Jesus, Satan has no way of winning.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I could tell you several other stories that in the middle of a battle with a devil, Jesus came right to me and tell me what to do. Because I was doing the wrong thing. I was fighting. I got excited and frightened. And Jesus just appeared to me and said, don't struggle. Relax. I just relaxed and the devil jumped on top of me. Amen. But Jesus won. Amen. Praise be to God. God is saying to us, brethren, that this area of the mind, we must immediately get onto it. For this is where our victory lies. I don't know if you notice how many mind religions are going around now. The Eastern religions have invaded the West. And the TM and the MT and everything else is bombarding the people. And I have seen one church send all its members to the TM class. Better than that, I've seen a university that sends its staff to take TM because they say they become better workers. And if TM is making a headway, you better start looking about your mind and what you are thinking, because you can also make a headway by setting your mind on Jesus. Now, the how of it, we may just touch that, you see. How can I set my mind on Jesus? But let's go on a little more. Read Ephesians 2 and 6. 7. I tell you what, let's read 1:21-23 first, then 2:6-7. Ephesians 1:21. We're talking about Christ Jesus. Maybe we should read from 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, whenever you read in your Bible of anything being lifted up, anything being raised, don't think of a natural raising from bottom to top. Think of it spiritual, because this is what your Bible means. When your Bible said Jesus was raised, it didn't mean just that he got up from a dead position to alive. It means that spiritually he was in the lower regions and spiritually he was lifted to the higher regions. So, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. Now, you notice here that the same principalities we were talking about, that Jesus is the head,
of these. Not, Jesus is not only the head of the principalities in heavenly places. You know what principality means? To go it over for those who don't really grasp the word. Prince. It starts with the word prince. A principality is a polity or an area ruled over by a prince. Amen? So Jesus is the head of principalities in heaven as well as in earth and in hell. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to understand, Jesus is a man. Jesus Christ is a man like you. He has flesh and he has bones. Amen? Now, to say he is head, we must be speaking in a spiritual sense. And if he is head, then he's not a headless person. He must a bodiless head. You understand? He has a body. And in the same spiritual sense that Jesus is head, in the same spiritual sense, you are his body. Are you with me? Set now, verse 6 in chapter 2. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. What are we talking about? Are we sitting in heavenly places now? Yes, in Christ. In Christ. Not in the natural. Not in any other way, but in the one way, in Christ. The moment you get into Christ, the moment you move in Christ, you are part of God's rulership. Let's get it straight. God has a body on earth, arms, legs, head, moving, doing things, acting, right? It is necessary for you to know what part of the body you are.
Yes, sir.
It is necessary to know for you to know what part of the body you are. And let me just touch this, brethren, because I know that some of you don't know what part of the body you are. There is an outer court. There is a holy place. There is a holy of holies. There is a ministry in the outer court that is basically anointed for the outer court. Yes, sir. I give you an idea what I'm talking about. When I was first called and sent out to preach the gospel, I would pray to God for the souls of men. And when I got into a congregation, everything in there that could be saved was saved. They were thrown down on the ground. Whole congregation fall down and couldn't get up until they repented. And I just sat down watching them. Because this was the ministry, this was the area of the ministry in which I operated. One night, 9 men got up and challenged me. And said, you have nothing, man. You're just putting the brain over us. You're a shyster, you know. He said, prove to us that you have God. I said, do you want it? They said, yes, prove to us that you have God. I said, all right. You want me to pray that God will touch you? They said, yes. Yes. We want God to touch us. We hear too many words. Too many preachers come in here and deceive us. Big words. We want God to touch us. I said, you are right up my street, boy. I prayed one time and nothing happened. And brother, that whole congregation like this started laughing at me. And I tell you, I felt a laugh bubbling up in me. I had to laugh because I know when men begin to mock God, something's going to happen. So, the second time I prayed, and a little girl with a fine voice, she was the joker of the piece. She said, "Nothing has happened, sir." And see, the people just laughed me to scorn. I said, "Well, since nothing has happened to you, you want to give me a chance to lay hands on you and pray for you personally?" She said, "Okay." You know? Hallelujah. No sooner than I touched the girl, she screamed. Now the people think she was still joking. But she screamed and fell to the ground. And something in the building arced. The electrician here, you know what I mean? There was something like something arc, and the nine people were struck flat to the ground, and they couldn't get up. All night they had to repent, and they couldn't get up.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, the man who is anointed for the outer court, he can work there and work with power and work with the Spirit of God. But there is a man whose basic anointing is for the holy place. And if he reaches out into the outer court, he's reaching them in. And this is the holy place movement, the anointing that we see in the present day thing, which we call a charismatic move, that men are working on this bridge between the church realm and the Holy Spirit realm, the businessmen, full gospel businessmen, groups and whatnot, they are working in this realm. But there is a ministry that is anointed on the other side, from the holy place, to push people into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. Now you must know where you are. You must know where you are, for you can be at different stages of the game. It doesn't mean that I couldn't preach a salvation message. No. Get me out there and I wrought havoc with the devil's business. See, I would gladly get to it right now. And I don't pass a sinner if I can catch one. But you see, basically, this is not my department at this time. I'm called, sent to the United States with an urgent message to the people of God.
Yes, son.
Basically, to the sons of God who are going into the Holy of Holies. Praise God. Some of you don't know what you are doing, because you take your money, the money you earn, it's part of God's money. You and God earn it. When you walk down the street, it's you and the Holy Ghost. When you go to work, it's you and the Holy Ghost. And you are as much a worker in God, a part of this body, a part of this body function, as any Mr. Preacher who goes out and spends all his time working. And when you go and take your money and give it to the outer court, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Because basically God called you to support a ministry that is going in. And if the ministry doesn't get the strength, they cannot do what they are to do. Now, I'm not saying you mustn't give outer court. I'm not saying you mustn't give holy place ministry. But on the direction of the Lord. Basically, you are called and anointed for a specific ministry.
Hallelujah.
You must labor in that ministry. Put your strength in that ministry. Now, how do I get into that? When I'm talking about wrestling, because the enemy will intervene and cause you to do the wrong things. He's dealing with the mind. I know some people give an offering because they are embarrassed. Isn't that a truth? Some people give an offering because everybody is giving, you're embarrassed, you sit down, you give nothing, you feel a little ashamed. And this was the design of passing the offering plate, to embarrass you so that you'll give. I heard a man say one time, "I'm not ashamed to take a carnal offering from a carnal people." He got the biggest offering that evening.
Well, praise be to God. Let's go on. So we're talking about you sitting in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, because you're a part of his body, and whatever he does, you are a part of what he does. Now, let's go on. Your mind is the battlefield. Amen. I want you to read for me Proverbs 4 and verse 22. Turn your Bibles around. Proverbs. The Spirit of God is speaking to you to keep your mind right. Verse 23. Keep thy heart or thy mind with all diligence. Be very careful. For out of it are the issues of life. What are we talking about? We mean that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to deliberately curb your thoughts, keep your mind upon the things of the Lord. Sometimes your house, your home, is so confusing, so upsetting, that it seems everything is upside down. You can't get things together. Switch on the tape recorder. Switch on the gospel music. Switch on, get that machine to help you. Switch on the Bible, just being read. Don't you have Bible tapes, most of you? Get Bible tapes. Put them in the tape recorder, and everybody busy doing their business. But let that thing keep going. And you'll see what happens. The devil will leave your house. He's not going to stay there while Bible is being spoken. And you better pray over that tape recorder. I've seen many people lose their tape recorders. But yet, the devil just makes the thing go bad. You better have to pray over your tape recorder and let that thing work. Keep your heart with all diligence. Because Proverbs 23 and 7 says that as you think in your heart, even so you are. Get there. We can't pass that one. 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In the area of our mind, there is a battlefield. And this is the main battlefield. Let me tell you one thing about your mind. Your mind is the nearest part of your soul to your spirit, or to any spirit. There are spirits which are struggling to control your mind. All right. A drawing came into my mind. Amen. You have spirit, soul, and body. Three areas. Imagine three circles. Right between spirit and soul, you have a connecting link where the spirit reigns over the soul, or should reign over the soul. But the person who opens and closes the gate is the soul, not the spirit. So the spirit will come in as much as you pull the lever back and open the gate. And this is why we had the scripture about the gate in the 24th chapter of Psalm. As the gate is open, the spirit will come in. But if you shut the gate closed, another spirit will come in. Come on, are you with me? You see, your spirit is incorporated by the Holy Spirit.
And the satanic spirits cannot go into your spirit. That's a closed area for them. But they can bombard your mind. And so the spirits try to reign over your mind. I'm sorry for the heat. I know, but cheer up, don't sleep. We must get through this. I don't know the time, but praise God. It's good food. Let's get it. See, Luke 12 and 29 speaks of a person being of a doubtful mind. Be not of a doubtful mind. Doubt is a destroyer that causes the mind, that takes away the energy from the mind. Don't let your bodies cause your soul to lose energy. You see what I'm saying to you? So control your bodies that neither heat nor cold nor whatever is going to cause your body to cause your soul to lose its blessing at this time. So let us go on. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. You see, a doubtful mind is something that destroys the energy of your soul. Do you know that when you fight the devil, you fight him with energy? It's not your hands and your feet, you know. Of course, I've seen people kicking the devil and all that sort of thing, but you can't do that. The whole story is that the energy from your mind blasts him like a laser beam. When you rebuke a devil, it is the energy that comes forth from your soul, through your spirit, from your spirit, through your soul, that blasts the enemy. And if that energy comes out with a piece of doubt in it, it is like something that restricts the power. Praise the Lord. Can you understand? So if you're fighting the devil with a restricted power, you are not going to win. And this is the situation we are dealing with, the mind, the area of battle. We read another scripture here. In Romans 8 and verse 27, a scripture speaking of the mind of the spirit. What's that? Somebody says spirit and mind is the same thing. Well, we are reading here now about the mind of the spirit. The spirit of God can overshadow your mind, so that your mind takes on the image of the mind of the spirit, what the spirit wants you to do. What did I say? Romans 8 and 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. So it means that even in our prayers, that the Holy Ghost must direct praying, because he will make intercessions for us according to what God has planned for us. Do you know that every one of you sitting here, God has a special plan for you? Look at God's blueprint. We should always pray, God, let me conform to your plan for me. You know, that conforming to God's plan for you, very often, I might want you to do so-and-so. The other person wants you to do so-and-so. But what does God want you to do?
Yes.
And this can only be decided in your own heart, between you and God. What is the mind of the Spirit? Now, take 1 Corinthians. chapter 2 and 16, and we look at the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, many Christians quote that verse to say that, I don't have any problems. I've got the mind of Christ already. You sure do. But you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. We'd like to see it come forth in your conscious mind. You know, Sunday there was a beautiful lesson there, as Brother Rick brought forth. And the thing that impresses me most is that God said to Abraham, "Now, Abraham, I know you." But God knew Abraham long ago. The worst part about it is that God knew what Abraham would do before Abraham knew what Abraham would do. And yet God had to have Abraham do it. You know what we're talking about? We are talking about you doing an action to get the thing really incorporated into your being. That we are being formed. Can you understand that? You are not yet you. In other words, the you that you are today, tomorrow you will be another you. And as days progress, you will gradually, consistently change. Now if you are changing for the better, the you that I call you are changing to be more like Christ. So one day when I see you, you will be not the you I used to know, but you will be the Christ that I never knew. So that the mind of Christ is continuously changing people. And you know, I have been making mistakes. I have made a lot of mistakes. And one of the mistakes that God corrected me in recently is that a man did you something last week. And you said, "Boy, him? I'm keeping away from him." Right? You keep away from him for a month, 2 months, a year, and then a man changed. Yeah. And you know nothing about it. You still go around judging him on what he did last year. Yeah, sure. Brother, you're wrong. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe Jesus, then believe Jesus for your brother that he also can change. Amen. And because there's a change, a continuous change going on, you dare not judge a man for what he did yesterday. Amen. Praise be to God. Because there is a continuous change, and the mind of Christ is overcoming the natural carnal mind. Hallelujah. And we are putting on the divine nature. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5. Praise God. Putting on the mind of Christ. What do I mean by putting on the mind of Christ? I mean that we are submitting to the Spirit of God which is within us. And this same Spirit, this same mind that is within us is continuously bombarding the natural mind. And the natural mind is giving way to the mind of Christ in us. And there is a breaking down of the natural way of thinking, the natural way of operation, the natural way of doing things. And God is having the victory. I said here what? Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Beloved ones, when you think of the distance between Jesus and us. And you think of the distance between us and our fellow brother, then you will realize how far we are from the point, that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Some of us feel we are high. Some of us feel we are doing well, we're great. And we look down, and some people, other people, anytime you start looking up, you stop looking down. You realize that the distance between you and God. You see, if you were like Jesus Christ, you wouldn't even look at those little worthless things down there. Because you're so far above them. And this is our problem. We, as soon as God begins to bless a group, bless a church, we begin to think ourselves as higher than others. I heard one group preach in the headship company. We are the head. God's using us. God's using us to do his business on earth, to rule and to reign. But we are not the head. We are being used by the head. Praise God. I hope so. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's take First Peter. How do we get our minds? How do we get our minds to be disengaged with the world? Disengaged with the world. From 5:7, 5:7-8. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here who still thinks that nobody cares about me. You know, I'm just poor and wretched and this and that. But God is saying that he cares for you. And that we should begin to learn to put our problems not only to Jesus but on him. Okay, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to jail. All my bills I can't pay. This is not happening. Okay, God, you said you'd take care of me. Do what you please. This is the kind of carelessness that I'm encouraging. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with supplication and prayer, make your request be made known unto God. If God don't want to do it, it is his way. Just leave it at that. Don't get flustered and frightened. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a joke about the roaring lion that he's only making noise. The roaring lion's only making noise. He isn't doing anything. When a lion roars, he does it for one basic purpose: to get all who are frightened running. And they run right into him, and he picks and chooses which one is the fattest. A lion roars in order to intimidate. It is a fear tactic. Do you understand? He's trying to get you afraid. If you are not afraid, you have halfway won the victory. Let me go on and close. Wherever your heart is, there also is your treasure. So if you want to have your mind stayed on God, then you have to begin to think about things about God. As I'm telling you, that in a battle, you should learn how to think on God. Let me give you an idea. Some people don't know how to get in the Spirit. It's funny to say, how do I get in the Spirit? Some people say you must start talking in tongues to get in the Spirit. I think you should get in the Spirit to start talking in tongues. You know, if you start babble, shabble, babble, 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 you're doing nothing. You see, that doesn't get you in the Spirit. But to get in the Spirit, your mind must turn to something of God. So you should, in your spare time, take it as a practice to think about the spiritual things in the Bible. You're going to have to store up in your storehouse this type of energy. The blood of Jesus Christ is an energy that is let loose in here. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is, when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we are not talking about a sticky plasma. You understand? We're not talking about that red sticky substance. We are talking about life energy that's pulsating. And if you get on the frequency, if your mind gets on the frequency, you pull this energy immediately. And you can use it for any purpose that you need of defense. The scripture said they overcame him by the word of their testimony and what? The blood of the Lamb. We're talking about the mind of man. And if you have a pure mind, you have halfway won the victory. God bless you. In Jesus' name.